that one there is a middle range. There's one a little higher, but it has all the bells and whistles.
There's a time of the day.
I've been home and played the tune. Stereo.
That's the golden time. It's a time that the sun turns to gold all around. That's the golden time of day. At the end of the day, when the wind is soft. The sun settles down, and it takes a lovely form. That's the golden time of day. Whoa.
Shining, can't you see it shining? Oh. time for the Carol Cox Show right here at K108. If you have questions or comments for Carol, our number here is 524-1080, 524-1080. And now, here's Carol.
Hey, good morning. Welcome to the Carol Cox Show. A beautiful day out there, and here it as well. We got nice rains, and if you could see us now. Anyway, happy Father's Day to many of you out there, and I'm sure you're celebrating and having good dinners and lunches and doing all of those good things. Make an adjustment here, but Frankie Beverly and Mays, with that song played earlier. Some of you guys from up there in the Oakland area and San Francisco know of the Bay Area. Good music, Frankie Beverly. Anyway, many things to talk about, and feel free to call in 524-1080 if you'd like. I'm going to share with you some of the nice things that happened along the way of build up to this discussion that we're going to have in the next hour. I don't know if any of you knew this, but or if you got a chance to participate in it, you probably didn't get it. But just in case you did not or were not aware of it, many of you, there was a program, City and County of Honolulu, Stormwater Quality Branch, and what it was that, here's reading directly from the Clean Water Honolulu, Be an Everyday Clean Water Hero. That's the city and county's program that they were, there's a little project going on there, and again, be an everyday clean water hero. Clean Water Honolulu. Aloha, please help. We're developing a pledge sticker for a pilot project that asks residents to, quote, stash your trash, end quote, to prevent water pollution and keep our storm drainage system functioning properly. We'd like to suggestions to complete the sentence. I stash my trash too, and you fill in the blank. So some of the examples that they gave for participants were: to keep our keiki safe so the rain can drain, that's another one. So the rain can drain. Another one is to prevent neighborhood flooding. And then to keep our oceans healthy. Our ocean healthy. We only have one here, so my mistake. But that's a project that that the city and county of Honolulu was had a basically public participation that wanting to deal with stash your trash. And the final results were, they wrote back, and after that we received 60 different votes or suggestions for our pledge, suggestions and feedback. Cannot thank you enough for taking the time out. These are the standouts, they say. To keep our oceans healthy, to malama honua, to be a good neighbor, to protect our waters. These will become stickers to place on trash bins piloting in Kalihi this fall and the neighborhood near you. Now, that's admirable. I wish I had a band. I'd strike it up and play it for the. That was a good cause the city did, and it gives us a mantra and it gives us a little song. So can you imagine being able to sing such a thing as you go around in your daily activities? You know, to keep our Cape Gee safe, and so the rain can drain, and to prevent neighborhood flooding, to keep our ocean safety, a safe. And how can you argue with that, man? That's state of the art environmental management. That you can't buy that. That just it's the ultimate management tool that is available to conservationists and managers and mayors and governors and presidents and all. You get yourself something like that, and you're doing a good job. And that means that all of your realistic and reality issues, like sewage overflow, just dissipate. Go away. Not a problem. Because you can sing that song. Now, if you get yourself a cute little voice there, a little child, or some heavy baritone, or whatever, you know, and sing that, man, you could strike up the band, and you could tell the public you're doing good things. You're not having any. Forget the sewage spills. Forget the water potholes and the water main breaks, and forget all of that, and the trash management and the leachate leaking out of trucks, because you have come up with a nice pitch, and that's so good. I mean, you know, and then forget, like you have done for some 25 years or maybe less than 20 years. I'm speaking specifically about this practice down at Waikiki, the jewel of the Pacific, you know, the money maker, the one that we bring people in. We spend millions on an agency to attract people to Waikiki and have them to wade and hide in the shade and do all those nice things with the suntan lotions. And I tell you what I found in the last, and we worked on this one for some while, but I just could not hold off any longer. I was going to spend some more time building and gathering more information, but I have sufficient now to at least speak to this and say that it is absolutely, I believe, that somewhere down the line you will probably find a lawsuit of some kind, or some legal challenge, or some public outcry that Hawaii is falsely selling and making claims of a beautiful environment in the rainforests. The rainforests basically are not available to the general public unless you go to the state parks and, you know, and you got confinements there. The ocean is now, if you're lucky, if you take a dip, you might come back and alive. You know, all of these things are conflicting with one another, and that's what the city and the state agencies are that is responsible for managing our natural resources. They're complicit and working and colluding. We've heard that word so much, colluding. One turns its back on the other and pretend to do its job and then serve as an enforcement. And I believe that somewhere down the line there could be, basing this on the other types of lawsuits that we see around and what have you, I believe that it's in the making such claims as pristine and beautiful coral reefs, and when you get here you're swimming over sewer lines and that are broken, or to get there you got to go around a manhole that is broken, or, you know, water main that's broken, all of these things. But that little project that they had, naming stashing your trash, it's laughable, because and it's consistent with what I've said, and I've said this, and I'm not part of the mainstream and don't ever want to be the environmental community, because we've gotten in this mode of managing the resources and protecting the resources by using stickers and bumper stickers and placards and posters and what have you, and pictures and contests, and giving little children, well, it's good educationally, It's good for the kids to learn how to do water tests and all. And might someone may grow out of there and become a world-renowned scientist on water, you know, a bacteria or something. Not arguing that point, but we seem to, in many of these issues or problems that we have, they all have this common results, and that is we identify a problem. You take Stink Pond over there in Wyanite. Ultimately, they give a grant, and then the kid's going to do water tests. The Stink Pond is still there. The 98,000, 100,000, whatever they give you is gone, and the pond is still stinking, and the kids probably have done nothing more with the test. So what am I talking about? Now, I don't know if you go to Waikiki, and if you do, or other places, but mainly Waikiki is where I'll focus, bring my attention to. And if you go to carolcox.com, you'll be able to see some of the photographs and aerial shots and what have you of what we're going to be talking about. So setting the stage, hopefully I've given you a little idea of what I'm going with this, and that is, down at Waikiki, there are showers, so that when the average person or whomever's swimming, and so if there's a million people that come in a week, let's say, and they go to the beach in that area, between Kalakaua groin, Kapahulu groin, to the Queens Beach. Situated in there along the way is several, 7, 8, 9, 10, I don't know the exact number, but there are showers, and some of you may be familiar with this if you've gone down there. And these showers sit there, and people come, they go get in the water, and they swim, and or sunbathe and paint themselves and lather themselves in sunscreen. And when they get ready to leave, they go up and they wash themselves and rinse the salt and the sand. And you might recall there was a discussion about the concerns with sunscreen and the beads, we'll call it, the micro beads that are comes in suntan and kills a coral reef and what have you, and is suspected, and all of it suspected in having wreaking havoc on the environment. And then you got your shampoos and your soaps and what have you, all being used in these showers. Now the showers are not connected. The showers are not connected to the sewer. The showers are by design, either under Jeremy Harris or whoever it was with, you know, brilliancy. Obviously, it was some smart people that did this. You know, it was not the everyday thinkers like you and me. But these are brilliant people that think this. And so, just maybe 10 feet away from these, in some instances, from these showers, is the sewer line, city sewer line. But the geniuses that designed this were preoccupied with how does it look, you know, rather than how does it function. And as a result, these showers are built where they're not connected to the sewer or the stormwater or anything, but they are standalone with some kind of fancy, dysfunctional method of where the water falls on the ground as you're showering. It builds up. It's supposed to percolate into the ground, but you're only right next to the shoreline, the ocean, just a few feet away, and you're upslope, so drainage. And these showers present a problem. Now, it sounds like making a fuss out of something that really can't go anywhere, but when we hear stash your trash and having contests and program projects that, to name and with the underlying intent to protect the environment and make it more sustainable and all of these things that you hear the song that you, like a broken record, and you should become suspect, whether it's a PhD talking or the mayor talking. You should have some suspicion, because it's either give us more money, and there's great talk now about sand shifting and what have you, and the treatment of these sands and the biological concerns and what have you, and all of that. But nobody wished to speak to these issues of these showers, and this is not my assessment that these showers present a problem. For years, this problem has existed. And what you'll see, yesterday I went down to finish documenting what I needed to do, and you'll see the area overflows. So the soap and sunscreen, and you know, standing there, you watch little kids and shishi, and I don't know what the grown-ups do, but, you know, let's be honest, cold water, warm water, whatever, stimulates human beings. And so they're watching this, and you see the water collecting, and people are walking in the water. It's pooling up, and then you see it flowing from the shower heads down to the ocean. And there, and you look there, you see children playing in it, scooping sand. And you also see an area where people are actually walking in it and slopping in it. And people, when it percolates to the ground in some areas, then they lay their towels on, unsuspectingly lay there in the sand, drenching themselves with this material that they don't know if it's water or a congregation of butterflies crying. They just don't know. Tears from butterflies or honeybees. They don't know. Have no idea. But the city and county of Honolulu know that it is what is going on. They know. And the state health department knows, because we have concerns with storm or wastewater, and this would be a wastewater, being generated, going into the ocean without being treated. So the big question is, how can the city and county of Honolulu operate these showers and allow these showers to stand alone and then pollute the ground that's underneath, pollute the ocean? And when the city and others have talked about the dangers and the threat that sunscreen poses to and soap poses to coral reefs and all of those things. So with all of this talk and all of this fanfare and all of these fancy efforts to create posters and make things look like they're not, it's a conspiracy. It's fraudulent, it's irresponsible, and it's reckless. But this is where I tend to agree with many people who serve as adversaries to the common talk of environmentalism. I'm a staunch environmentalist. I believe in it 100%. But we tend to get a little sneaky and crazy, and we don't openly disclose that, you know, we'll some things, if we like the person in office, whatever it is, and we're going to get our palms greased, and we're going to get a grant, and we're going to get this, or it's going to help our project, then we'll shut up. But for speaking on behalf of the whole of the environment, just an honest statement that this is screwed up, you shouldn't be doing this, and we're going to take legal action, we're not happy with your actions, Mr. Mayor, or Mr. Governor, or whomever. But we don't have that. So how can these conditions exist? So that some of you are out there and saying, well, you know, they're going to be wearing sunscreen anyway, and they're going to be getting in the ocean anyway. So what's your complaint? And they're going to wash themselves with soap, and it's going to, some of it's going to cling to them. They're going to get in the ocean. And you're right. I might be making a fuss for nothing. But I tend to always base my concerns and my openness in discussing these things is that I look to see if there is a paper trail to establish that, am I just an insane environmentalist who just cackling about anything, you know, and just pissed off at the world about everything, so therefore I should be complaining about everything, selectively, I should say. You know, again, environmentalism is a good thing, but it's also a bad thing because many amongst us tend to hang out with the people that they are preaching about and become great friends. And I know the theory of getting along with human beings, you got to give some, take a little bit and give a little bit. But damn, every time I turn around, these situations exist, and it's like you ain't giving a little bit, you're giving a lot. Or you're giving it all, as long as you get something. So, to establish, and for the people that would wish to challenge me and say, well, that's your assessment, it's not a problem, what are you talking about? So, anticipating that, because this is serious, these impacts that these showers pose and have posed and presented for years go unnoticed by the agencies. Peripherally, they touch them and they speak to them, but they never do anything. So, before I go jumping on the mayor's back and anyone else that were involved, and I wanted to establish that, is this a reality or is this is me interpreting that? And you know how we all have our own interpretations of things, and I'll be the first to admit an interpretation can be skewed by many things. But so to avoid that and anticipating questions from you, is it a problem that I see as my assessment, or is it a problem that the professionals and the managers and government agencies? So here's a letter that was written in September 2012 to Todd Haranaga, the district manager. And it was written by Sina Pruder, wastewater branch of the Department of Health, acting chief. Wastewater spill is a subject. Complaint from outdoor showers along Kuhio Beach Park. Kuhio Beach between Kapahulu going to the police substation. Caller, thank you. Go ahead.
Yeah, I was listening to what you're saying, Mr. Cox, and the reason why they let all this stuff go as if it's not important is because, see, eventually when they get sick and they go to the doctor, you see, the doctors, between the doctors and the insurance company and a thing called environmental medicine, they already got it covered to where they can't diagnose that which you were witnessing as a disease that enters somebody's body. See, so between the AMA,
American Medical Association,
the insurance industry, the pharmaceutical industry, the way doctors are trained, and environmental medicine, that is why what you witness is the response to it when you try and talk about it. Because it's so interconnected into the politics. It all comes back to medicine. All this stuff creates diseases in the human body. All of it. Mm-hmm. And there's no diagnosis for it.
Mm-hmm.
It's covered up already before you can even get to the doctor. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? So I want to listen off the air.
Okay.
What you gotta say, sir.
Thank you. So there's an example there with what people, some people get these things and others don't. Or we don't know the importance of it, or we don't know that we're being played, so to speak. and testing the water to see that it's safe for surfing and fishing or divers is and swimmers is one thing, but going to the mayor and saying to you, to the mayor, this mayor or any other mayor, that we don't need another stinking sticker. We need you to focus those resources. You have a wastewater management branch in the city and county of Honolulu government structure. You have an environmental services department. You have Department of Planning and Permitting, which regulates pipeline connection to the sewer, and which would be a building permit violation. But if you are the man, you don't have to worry about the man taking an action against you, because you are the man. But the problem is, the man is exposing us to all of these problems that are threatening the environment as well as human health. So this letter goes on to say, this letter is to inform you that the Department of Health Wastewater Branch received a complaint regarding wash water from our outdoor showers overflowing onto the beach and into the ocean. Now, this was written in 2012, folks. There have been other complaints. There's been hundreds of complaints. This is, I think this is Trevor Ozawa's city council district. I've called his office asking, hoping that he will release some of the complaints or share with me. And I also have asked the city parks director and managing the Kapolani Park. And we're waiting. But on September 13, 2012, staff conducted a site investigation of five outdoor showers along Kuhio Beach between the Kapahulu groin to the police substation. The investigation verified the sand traps of three of the outdoor showers near Liliuokalani Avenue, Ulunui Avenue, and the avenue site flowed down a steep slope and directly into the ocean. Folks, this is 2012. This is the state health department. They are the wastewater branch. There's a clean water branch. With these activities, there's a Department of Planning and Permitting, which have zoning and inspectors and what have you. So you would think, here is the enforcement arm of the government, state agency responsible for this, comes to the scene, documents it, and then in turn, it's still there some 5 years later. So Mr. Merle Goodell, acting groundskeeping supervisor for the Kapiolani Regional Park Office, indicated that each outdoor shower is equipped with a sand trap connected to a dry well. The sand traps are cleaned one or two times per week, depending on staff availability, and the dry wells are cleaned every 1 to 2 years. Now, when you look at the capacity of people and the number of people coming in there and the shifting of the sands and the tracking of the sand, it's the dry wells are clean 1 to 2 years as needed basis. Folks, if the water is standing and the dry well is there and not functioning and it's flowing down and children are playing in it and people are sitting in it where it flows down and it's kind of a, you can see the outline of it, and they're laying there on the backs and sunning. Probably makes for a good suntan. I don't know. I'm, maybe one day I'll try it and see if I can improve my suntan. But shower water from the Uluanui site flowed down, again, a steep slope and directly into the ocean. The groundskeeper, supervisor for the Kapiolani Parking Office, indicated that each outdoor shower is equipped with a sand trap connected to a dry well. And then Mr. Goodell also reported that the outdoor shower closest to the Kapahulu groin may have been constructed without a dry well. So someone came along and said, we're going to exempt you from the building codes and the permit codes because we're the city. We do what the heck we want to do, you know. What do you mean, health of the environment? What crazy nonsense are you talking, Mr. Inspector, when you mention there's concern for humans being impacted or getting sick from this water. When did you come into the picture with this nonsense? Apparently that's what happened, because they gave them exemptions, they allowed them to build them, and then they deviated from the design that was prescribed. And still yet no violation notice. So in addition, the please be aware that causing or allowing any wastewater system on your property to create or contribute to wastewater spill, including shower wash water discharges, is a violation of section 1162-06 subsection G, Hawaii Administrative Rules. In addition, 342D50, Hawaii Revised Statute, states prohibition: no person, including any public body, shall discharge any water pollutant into state waters or cause or pursuant to this chapter or permit or variance issued by the director. The wastewater spills may subject the city to provisions of HRS Chapter 342 and blah blah, including penalties not to exceed $25,000 for each day of each violation. Now, we're looking at this now. It's been in place, and this letter was 2012, so clearly there should have been some money paid. Somebody should have been fined or busted, but it didn't happen. But then they're still operating the same way. $25,000 fine a day. And you hear that so often. It sounds like these guys are the equivalent of piranha. When you violate the law, they're on you, man. They're looking for flesh, and they're breaking bones. You can hear the crisp, but all you hear is a feather falls to the ground, and no one gets excited. But they go through the motion. We recommend city and staff inspect the shower traps and dry wells and implement the following. Verify percolation rates for all outdoor shower dry wells. A poorly draining dry well is symptomatic of plugging and with sand, matted hair, scum. Whoa, scum. What is this now? Does this mean? Oh, I don't think it sounds like when they say scum. I didn't know this is where they were talking about the politicians collect. I don't know, but we'll go on. Scum and debris that may result in the frequent backups of the sand traps. Percolation rates may also diminish over time, as plugging may occur through the public's use of soap and suntan lotion. Suntan lotion? Where have we heard that from? This was back in 2012, folks. So with this new pitch on the, oh, we got discovery of the suntan lotion and having constituents in it that kills the coral reef. But in 2012, the State Health Department is telling the city and county of Honolulu, you got to manage these water showers, the sources that are running into the ocean. You see what I mean by managing by posters and stickers? That's what the average administration does when it comes to the environment, whether it's state, federal, and they want to push a glossy poster to show what they're not doing. Dreamland. The reality is you're laying in the sand, wallowing in bacteria, laden sand, water, putting your children in it, and they got a pretty sick poster that you can, oh, and a bumper sticker that you can put on. And by the way, it's going to be done in Kalihi in the coming year or so. And so you notice they wouldn't put one in Waikiki. You know? So, again, the frequency of cleaning the sand trap should be increased. Consider construction of a backup dry well if a site experiences frequent backups. This may mean the dry well is undersized for the amount of usage or in need of immediate cleaning, and immediately inspect and clean the dry well at the Ulunui Avenue site, because it was reported that it may be plugged with roots from adjacent coconut trees. Blame it on the trees. When they catch us playing games, Just say the trees. It's the trees that did it, not the administrator who spent the money and went down the road and gave it to the man with the choo-choo train, the rail. Don't fix those things. Blame it on the trees. If trees could talk, they'd tell you a lot. But please provide our office with a detailed written report of your findings for the shower, wash, water overflows and mitigation actions taken or planned within 10 days after receipt of this letter. If you have any questions, please call Ken Muranaka of my staff. So that you, I offer that to say that most of the things we talk about, sometimes people tend to take the liberty of saying, that's just your opinion. That's just your interpretation. You see it one way. You're an environmentalist. You guys are never happy with everything, anything. And I'm saying to you, you shouldn't be happy either with everything, because you are unsuspectingly visiting the city parks along the Waikiki beach area and unknowingly being contaminated. Now, I've posted some of these pictures on carolcox.com if you're interested and want to see some of those, and I will also post them on Carol Cox Facebook. And again, this is something that I'm not just whistling Dixie and saying to you, you know, screaming wolf, because we can't quantify who got sick. We really don't know. There's no one monitoring. There's no sign saying, if you visited the beach, please make note of the fact that you may be contaminated, and you may, if you develop an illness after this visit, contact us and let us know that your leg is falling off, and or your skin is sloughing off, or you have a bad rash, or you have staph. We would know. Or if your children got some illnesses that unsuspectingly. And the sad part about this is that while we may dismiss it and say that making a mountain out of a molehill and exaggerating, imagine water fountain. So some people will come, and not everyone that visit the beach is going to drink from that water fountain. They're not thirsty. They bring their own water. So you're not going to impact the high number of people. But imagine all of the people that go to the beach. What percentage of that population of people that visit the beach, sunning and what, and recreating and swimming, will come back and visit that shower? I would say probably 98%. And I stood there and counted, and the people, and they just get one picture to when the shower is empty. It was nearly impossible, because a constant line, constantly going and coming. People, they may pass up the water fountain to drink water, but they didn't pass up the shower, so, and wading in the water up to their ankles. And in some instances, if you go there on different occasions, you will find that the water is higher. It'll be up to their calves, or up to their, in some areas, if you're standing on a slope, it'll be up to your knees, and sheets of it flowing. So these pictures that I posted will show indisputably that this is a violation after violation after violation. So now they're required to, this is a solution that the state offered them at one time. They're required to post signs saying no soap and shampoo drains into the ocean. Well, if you look at some of the photographs, and you'll see on the showerhead themselves, you'll see that placard there. But also, if you look and see, as I did, you'll see people standing there frosting their hair in shampoo and soap. So, wonder why we have our coral reefs dying, a nearshore coral reef. Why is it that we're having a decline in limu and scarification? You go there on the rocks, you just see gray, dead matter or silted, some foreign or alien species. It's that whereas it used to be native limu or native seaweed would flourish. Wonder why. I'm not blaming it on the showers, but the showers, the outfall, the runoff from the streets, those sewage spill, and all of that. And the human impact of concentrating people on reefs and walking on them and stepping on them and making money hand and fist and going out and then advocating and making posters and stickers and fixing the problems with posters and stickers. It's child's play. I don't believe there is one person in government that appreciates the importance and how fragile our resources are, because if there were just one, we'd hear them speaking out. Not just lip service. Not just, well, we need another $5 million for this alien species that we saw him coming in on the wing of a plane, and then, you know, and if we could just get $7 million and we'll be able to fix everything, and yeah, but what about the other things? This is a sexy hot button issue here. Yeah, well, we need more money for meconium and all. Why don't you back up and abandon the stickers and giving, spending hundreds of thousands of dollars and giving kids water kits, and give them water kits later, testing kits, when us grown-ups learn to manage what we are responsible for managing and taking ownership for what we own. Thank you, caller. Go ahead with your comments or questions.
Oh, hello. How are you?
I'm fine.
I guess I would be interested in finding out, obviously you're not discussing controversial words like you did last week.
Oh, no, I mean, if the word now is soap, man, in bathroom, that's controversial.
Soap?
Yeah, where were you the last hour? You you must have been out practicing for Father's Day.
Oh, no, I'm not a dad. No. I've avoided. No, I'm not a dad. Just.
But you can.
I don't know anything about dads.
You could. Yeah, you do. You know. It took a dad to bring you here.
That's true.
So don't you forget that, my man.
That's true, but I'm not a dad. So.
Yeah, I know, but you can appreciate a father, right?
Oh yeah.
All right. So.
And yeah. Some people, well, that's contentious, depending on who you know, right? Some people have fathers, and others don't.
Well, I learned one thing a long time ago. No matter how your father behaves, if he ignored you or treated you bad, you still have that yearning and that desire in your heart to know your father and to live with him. It doesn't matter how he behaves. In every man's heart, there is that desire to experience when they look to their friends and they see their father, their friend's father treating them and doing things and interacting with them. They desire and wish for the same thing.
That why
some
do you say
of us,
that? I'm just curious.
Why?
Yeah.
Because it's a human response. It's
right.
a healthy response.
Not personal in your...
Well, yeah. Same thing.
Oh.
Yeah. And I'm part of the pack. So, you know, Father's Day, you don't have to be a father to celebrate it. You can be thankful that your father existed to, and that you got lucky enough to be here. Because you know, you and I haven't brought anything to the party that's exciting, so we should just count our blessing that hey, there was room,
I mean,
and they needed.
You know, here's the thing. When you talk about, you know, I never really thought about Father's Day because I've never been a father.
Mm-hmm.
But, I mean, it depends. When you bring that point up, I think that's an interesting point because you come across people who, like you mentioned, have that yearning. You know, like, they seek father figures in their lives. Even if they have fathers, maybe the father's working and didn't have much time for them.
Mm-hmm.
But they seek, like, a father substitute.
Mm-hmm.
Or a father figure in their life.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know what that's like. So, because I've never...
Never knew your father?
No, I've known my father.
You did?
Yeah. But, I had a father and mother.
But did you interact with... Well, of course, I had a father and mother, too. And I bet everybody listening had one, unless they're the new age. That.
Well, I was raised by it. That's what I mean. It's not a big deal for me, because I had both parents. So, but I'm saying... What your point was seems to be one that impacts people who perhaps didn't have a father around.
No, I'm just saying.
Or, you know, they had a father, but he wasn't around because he was busy working, or may not have had a father around, period.
And no, I say the desire, the yearning, just looking at their friends or others who have has a father.
I noticed that. I think that's strong with people who haven't had fathers.
Right, well,
in my view.
But also those that have had fathers.
That's true. That's what I mean.
And so what happens in everyone's life, and I shouldn't say everyone, that'll be too reckless.
Well, that's
my point is, sometimes there's not a perfect world. You know, I would like to live in the city and be able to come home. Dad comes home from being the manager at the General Electric plant and, you know, and sit down there and lights a pipe and I'll take his shoes off and go, you know, that the Dennis Menace, the Menace type family, you know, all of that are Lassie, all of those.
Right. But
you know,
that's fantasy.
Well, no,
those
it's not.
Archetypes.
No.
That's. I mean, when you look at stuff like that...
It's not fantasy, brother. I guarantee you, if I got listeners... Hold on, stop for a minute.
It wasn't a perfect...
Stop for a minute.
A perfect world.
Stop for a minute. A perfect world for everyone. But I guarantee you, for any scenario that you want to talk, there's someone out there will tell you that they love their father, and they did have a wonderful time with their father. You and I may not have existed, but there are sometimes families that, well, men... They appreciate their fathers, and they grew up with their fathers, and they shake them. And so it just depends.
Like I said, I grew up with both parents, so
right, but
it's fine.
Yeah, but again, my point is that out there, everyone should appreciate their father just for being brought into this world. It's not a nasty thing or a bad thing that your father did. That you know,
But what was interesting about what you mentioned wasn't that per se, but it was the yearning on the part of people to, you know, the whole idea of, I call it father figure, father substitute, or whatever.
Right.
You seek a father elsewhere.
Well, that was my point.
That's interesting.
My point was,
I've never experienced it myself.
Yep, because you don't listen. I'm trying to tell you where you may. I can share with you about 15 examples, but you ain't shutting up.
Sorry.
But, uncles play the role. There have been friends of the family that falls into place and expose you to things and tell you the right thing to do and tell you if it's not yours, don't take it. You know, the same thing a father would tell you, you know, and if you were fortunate enough to be brought up in a family that where you didn't have to be a relative of the child to give that child a spanking. If you found that child to be misbehaving or doing something bad, because that same person, friend of the family, was going to be coming down and bailing your ass out, you see, or driving your mother down or your grandmother down to get you out of trouble. But we'll be back in the next hour. You and I talked over the time here. We'll be back shortly, all right?
It's time for the Carol Cox Show right here at K108. If you have questions or comments for Carol, our number here is 524-1080, 524-1080. And now, here's Carol.
Ooh.
Okay, welcome back to the Carol Cox Show. The second half here, and sunshine and rain. So the earlier conversation was about the Waikiki Beach area and showers there, and we'll be pursuing that. I had a couple other things, and but going back to the conversation and poking fun at sometimes, but the reality is, you know, for me, as being 64 now, and I think back, I kind of can recall, or in my own time, way of seeing things in the past and whatever, and remembering. But I remember, I think, the era in which things took a turn for the worse. That I think, and this is just me, no science behind it, but a personal observation being immersed in all of this and growing up in the South and with families. One, contrary to what many of you might believe, have been led to believe, we're not savages. And when we're, as families, no matter how disfigured, or the fathers in there, or whatever problems there, no one preached to us, even in this worst case scenario, preached to us to be evil and steal and kill and rob, and no one. But I think that in the time that I grew up as a child and growing up would have been back about 60 years, And in that time, if you acted up away from home, or you did something disrespectful as you were growing up, you were expected to be taken to task by community members. And you dare not go back and tell your parents or your mother or your grandmother or your uncles and aunts that Mr. Johnson scolded me about this. You understand, because it just, they wouldn't have any part of that. In fact, I would end up getting two whippings. I'm not exaggerating. I know the capital punishment, and people don't we call it capital punishment when we make a child scream, but the reality is they were growing up into a world, we were going into a world that wasn't so promising, so to say. So we got guidance, and contrary to what any of you people believe that happened, we tried to make the best of what we have. And so when a uncle or an aunt saw you misbehaving, but I personally saw that change, and I think I know the time in our communities and in this, what we see now. It used to be, you don't act up, you don't embarrass the family, you don't disrespect the elder or disrespect anyone as far as that's concerned. And those were the golden rules, period. You didn't need police. You didn't need anyone to come and arrest you. But I personally believe that I started to hear, as I became an adult, I started to hear around 25, 30, people say, parents, young parents saying, well, don't nobody hit my child. Nobody put their hands on my child but me. Nobody scold my child but me. And I there was a certain, and I was taken aback by that, and then I thought, well, gee, if nobody but you gonna put a hand on your child, then it sounds like everybody that's wearing a uniform gonna put handcuffs on him. Because the way it goes is that if you don't have any guidance or a moral beacon or a compass or a rudder or something, and you're just you raising your child and he's out there on his own and behaving whatever and not responsible, and you're not responsible or reachable and teachable, I believe that it's that mindset that got us to today. the misunderstanding. And it's not, if a father was there, whatever. It's still, that was something. And I saw that coming and way back. And I was, even with my sisters, they had mindset or attitude to speak that way. You know, nobody but me. So now when, but it's a strange thing, when it comes time he gets in trouble, it's everybody but me that got to get bail money and money to get him out of jail or go give a statement to the courts to defend him and speak good. If you understand. So, happy Father's Day. Anyway, there's a lot of things that goes on, and I'm going to double back on you with this conversation. If you are down in the Waikiki area, I would hope that you take some of this into consideration, and I don't believe they put chlorine tabs in the shower, the places there, the outdoor showers. But in regards to that visit by the state that I read earlier in that letter to the city parks, the outdoor shower one, and this is the street from across the street from Marriott. The water in the outdoor water appeared fairly clear. One chlorine tablet was noted in the shallow pool. The shower sand trap was not overflowing. The water level was about 6 inches below the concrete pavement. Outdoor shower two near Keahualani. This outdoor shower was a waterfall feature along Kalakaua Street. Side of the shower. The shower is probably the one complainant identified as one of the problematic showers. The water in the waterfall appeared fairly clear. A couple of chlorine tablets were noted in the water. The shower sand trap was not overflowing. The water level was about 12 inches. So what you're getting here, you clearly there's concern with bacteria and other concerns. They're not drinking the water, so why do you suppose the chlorine tablets are placed in there? This is like the swimming pool, I would guess. They're treating it as such. And shower three, and they label these in a direction you're moving from the south northerly. The shower three near Liliuokalani Avenue across the street from the Pacific Beach Hotel, the water in the outdoor water feature appeared stagnant, and there were lots of mosquito larvae. The shower and sand trap overflowed onto the surrounding beach, and the shower water flowed toward the high water mark. We watched the flow of the water for a good 30 minutes to see if the shower water would eventually reach the ocean. Noted lots of people walking through the water. The flow stopped, disappeared into the beach sands just short of the high water mark. But people come along and they see that and they just think it's the waves that have deposited that sand there, when in fact it's bacteria laden and contaminated with whatever, human waste, and you know, and not to spoil your Father's Day breakfast or brunch, but you know, standing there yesterday, what I thought was a baby had gone to the bathroom and they took him to the shower, outdoor shower, and washed him down. And I'm saying to myself, I wonder how many times did that take place? And, you know, these are things that are coming, presenting themselves. And the city is as if with a blind eye and a blind ear and tight-fisted, and won't spend any money, won't listen to the public, won't respond, won't take an action. The outdoor shower 5 behind the police station in the Waikiki Beach Bistro, the shower sand trap overflowed onto the surrounding beach. The shower water immediately seeped into the beach sand. Note, this shower is located in a good distance from the ocean. But you see, it's sort of sickening that an agency would even resort to this kind of approach, in that it's an open shower. It's waste water, and it didn't. The thing is, it's not going to the ocean. They say they don't see it going into the ocean. but it's percolating in the ground. And bacteria can exist in the ground, and when people come and play in it, so they're not concerned, apparently. As long as they don't see it going in the ocean, it's not a problem. So, outdoor shower number 4 at the Ulunui Avenue across the street from the Hyatt Regency, we missed the shower the first time while walking in the other direction because this shower was set back from Kalakaua, closer to the ocean and located near a surfboard concessionaire. The shower had a rock wall on the ocean side of the shower. The shower sand trap overflowed and the shower water flowed around the rock wall and down a steep slope directly into the ocean. The wave flowed halfway up the slope and sucked the shower water out with each receding wave. Now this was done in 2012, this report. Yesterday, 2017, I photographed the same activity, and there is a couple of pictures there if will gross you out. The slime and the foam and the sludge, the scum that is collected on the water and people walking in it and showering in it. So they clean the sunscreen off of them and the soap and what have you, and they go on by the merry way in the sand. But they've just taken a dip in the scum, all thanks to the city and county of Honolulu. On September 11, 2012, at approximately 2:25, I called the city and county Department of Parks and Recreation, Kapi'olani Regional Park Office. I got a voicemail, so I left a message for someone to call me back. Mark Koga, secretary, returned my call around. Mark confirmed that their office was responsible for maintaining the outdoor showers along Kalakaua Avenue. However, Mark was not familiar with the cleaning procedures of the outdoor showers. He said he will have Merle Goodell, acting groundskeeping supervisor, give me a call. And I asked Mark for Merle's contact number. Okay. In September 2012, at approximately 2:22 p.m., I tried calling Merle Goodell. Merle did not answer. Okay, On September 13, 2012, at approximately 10:45, Merle returned my call. Merle said the park superintendent, Edward Freitas, was on vacation. The groundskeeping supervisor, Robert Yamamoto, who Merle is a TNA for, is currently out on injury leave. Merle said that he has been working for the Parks Recreation, and they inherited, for 12 years, they inherited the outdoor showers from the Harris administration, and showers were poorly designed. So when you hear things like that, who cares who they inherited from? They have a responsibility to do what's right. I don't know about this political juggling. If you've got a problem and it's impacting the public and poses a risk to the public and it's a waste of resources and a threat to the environment, you take care of it. You don't care who inherited it. You inherited it. It was broken. Fix it. Caller, thank you. Go ahead.
Yes. So the ideal of, it seems what you're discussing is not passing the buck when it comes to the environment and the need to take responsibility.
Mm-hmm.
And not kind of, I guess, play the sort of merry-go-round of administrative, involvement, where it's like, no, I'm gone, so that's out of my hands.
Yeah. Well, I don't... Yeah, one of the attempts here is to shine light on to the public. I don't think they would have the time, or I won't say the interest, to piece these things together. But I'm basically trying to educate the public by going. I know it's tiresome to sit and listen to this, but my point is I'm trying to illustrate that there is this orchestra playing this beautiful song about environmental awareness, environmental love and care, and all of that, and the billions of pounds of plastics that's in the ocean, and all of that, and, boom. But right under our feet, right right there, and we are allowing these things to occur, and no one seems to care. You see, I mean, that I when they came out with the, what, 3-4 weeks ago, it's been a while longer than that, but we had a flurry of conversations and public radio talking and about the components or the constituents and suntans, sun lotions and all of that, and how it impacts the coral and all. And I'm offering all this so maybe they, the public radio and maybe the TV stations will say, well, you know, look, enough is enough. Fix this problem. Be done with it. And we don't want to hear about your posters. We don't want to hear about what you're going to do. Go ahead and do it. Fix it.
Well, you know, it's always harder to get people interested in a lot of subjects. This is just one of them. Because of the normal, I guess, everyday, you know, people are working, you know, people have their interests, they have their families, mm-hmm. and it can get kind of, how do I put it? You know, it's easy to ignore what you're mentioning about the environment. It's easy to ignore them, and that's probably a reason why it has. It's because it's a lot easier to talk about it when it becomes popular or when it becomes necessary, and then kind of forget about it the rest of the year.
You know, if we were... I agree with you. If we were to rely on and expect every citizen to hold down a job and do all those things and raise a family and then go and take care of society's problems, well, we're not expecting that. But what we do know is that in a representative government, we chose the mayor. The guy ran for mayor to say he can fix it. You understand? And then we set aside in our government structure people that are experts that he's supposed to hire and directors, and then that director's supposed to hire people that he can depend on and fix. So it's not as you describe. This is not soliciting to the general public to go down and fix it after they put in an 8-hour workday or 14-hour workday.
Right.
This is saying to the government itself, you are representative of the people. The people pay you.
Right.
You tax us. Fix the damn problem. It's nothing to do with expecting. You wouldn't expect the average citizen to engage every day on every issue.
No.
You wouldn't. It's illogical.
Well, I was actually looking at it more from the focus or awareness type aspect, as opposed to the general public being actively involved and actively going in trying to fix the problem. Yeah, I would say that's not feasible, but to your point about the people being elected to office who aren't fixing the problem, again, what you have to look at is, you know, why that is the case. And there could be, a number of factors. It could be certain interests don't want it fixed. It could be apathy. It could be just disinterest.
Well, yeah, that's theoretical. This is why I task myself with going and looking at documents that speak specific so that I don't invite conversations like this. These are conversations that take you down a path that leaves you standing at a cliff going, do I jump or do I turn around? That would be your decision. My situation here and what I'm trying to do is educate the public in saying, we have everything in place, everything. But our focus and the importance that we place on certain activities and things and interests. For example, half the job is done. The state health department told them and assessed them and said they would find them. So clearly, the public don't need to get involved. The public just simply need to be informed. But you can't expect the public to go to the beach and become environmental, radical, tree-hugging, and then go back to work the next day. They're down there sharing with their families or on vacation and whatever. We are placing these sites and making them available and says, come one, come all, we'll take your money no matter where you're from, and it's called tourism and what have you. We hire those people. They get paid handsomely, big salaries. So it's nothing much to do with training and having a general public do anything. In this case, the general public should be educated and be made aware that the water that they're stepping in, something as simple as putting a sign that says danger. Now, for example, one of the showers have been shut down and closed, taken out of operation, right? You know why? Because the city felt that out of liability concerns and that the moss was growing so much and the seaweed was growing on the grates and the broken grates in the shower that they were likely to have an accident and be sued. You see, when in fact they just should fix the whole thing and for several reasons, safety of the people and also protection of the environment, reduce yet another threat to the environment. That marine environment that they actually sell to people, right? It's an attraction that they sell to the people.
Well, here's something, since you had brought up a little, but here's what I would ask you. This is just aimed at you. You note that what you're doing is helping to inform the public and help to put out information for the public. Do you feel that what you've done, not only with this show, but other efforts, has borne fruit, so to speak? Do you think that it's been worth it for you?
Of course, I wouldn't be doing it. Or I would be consigned to a nut house. Or should be. And of course I do. I think I've had a tremendous impact. And I gauge that from the things that people have gotten fired for stealing from the public that I've reported. Mm-hmm. People have gone to jail, right? Mm-hmm. And people have even attempted to murder me. So, because of what I do. And, of course, I've had an impact. And I would say, turning that question around, you being in your capacity as a consumer or recreationist or whatever, have you had an impact or influence on the environment in a positive way?
I certainly haven't done what you're doing. I mean, I'm not an environmental expert or activist or somebody informing people about the environment. That's not my expertise.
Mm-hmm.
Whether I've had a positive impact on it or not, I don't really know. I can't say.
Well, I would say you have had a positive, and all of us, if you do one thing in life and not throw trash out the window while driving, that just that single act is a start.
Okay.
you understand?
It never really appealed to me. Yeah.
Well, but you understand.
I guess that's one way to look at it. Yeah.
And when we're all activists, and I tend to believe that human beings are good. A good thing. It's just that the system that we've designed doesn't allow some of us to rise to the top or engage. There are people that have done good things for the environment and then they get chastised because you didn't have a city and county permit. But then if you go by that same site, it's still junk cars and bottles and trash and oil buckets but the city enforced a law that part. So how do you gauge what good you've done? If you reduce any consumption of anything that has an impact on the environment negatively, that's a good thing. And I think all of us we should assess and be reminded the impacts that we don't take notice of when we go and, you know, buying less things in wrappers and trying to buy things and encourage the stores not to box and wrap everything. But that's, you know, that's where the individuals come into play. But this is a bigger problem here. This is clearly the city is aware of it. Take the showers, for example. The state is aware of it. And they, in these words, that's why I was reading this, because, you see, it would invite, if I just sat here and talk about it, it wouldn't complete, in my mind, it would leave a lot of things unanswered. Like, how do I know this? Am I just making this up? Am I just dreaming this? So I go out and look at these documents to try to establish so the public can put these things together and say, well, okay, if this Carol Cox says wrong, well, who is he to say it's wrong? Well, then, anticipating that, I go and then get the documents where the official agency that is responsible for enforcing it and regulating the users in the city and people that may pollute, see what they've said about this specific situation. And voila, here's a document that spells out in great detail what is wrong. They've identified the problem. And so it wasn't Carol Cox's assessment or interpretation or projection. It was what the system has identified, the professional system, people that, you know, draw on many professional engineers and PhDs and doctorates and directors and, right, and biologists and botanists and ecologists, right?
Mm-hmm.
And yet we still have this problem.
Right.
So my effort is to try and lay this out, and so that the public won't just be saying that I'm trying to avoid them. I want to educate them and
right.
avoid them thinking that I'm yet another radical who just in total disagreement by looking at something and interpreting it myself and then laying the you understand.
Right. Well, I'm sure you'll have more callers, so I'll let you get to that and more information to give to people.
Yeah, well, again, happy Father's Day, dude.
It's very strange. Nobody's ever wished me that. Same to you.
Yeah. And all right, you know, on other days I'd say happy. But anyway, that's the situation. It's very interesting that I get a lot of people, I go to help some people, and they said, you know, I talked, mentioned your name and said that you were helping us, and man, they don't like you. That's a good thing. And my only question to the person that's conveying that message is that, well, did you tell them that I didn't eat you, and you, did you tell them that I didn't know you, but did you tell them and put great emphasis that you came to me with a problem and I helped you, not harmed you? So we have this thing that is flipped on its back, and we're looking at the underbelly of ugly side of humanity, and then that it's the government agencies. Not all government is crooked, is thieving, or anything like that. It's just that they get caught up into projects. And these projects become something that they post, the politician rest his political career on it. If I can just get this, whether it's a prosecution of a guy who stole bottles from the church, or if I can prosecute him, then that's going to elevate me in the eyes of the public, and it has good. So this is not all thing is just crooked, but they get caught up in it. And so now I'm going to commit to, for example, this rail. I suspect that many of the Hawaiian woes and problems that exist here in Hawaii, especially in Honolulu, has all to do with people and their political platform. Those that get in office, they commit to something, now they're beholden to it. So fixing the showers, some 8, 9, 10 showers, to bring them into compliance, to connect them to the city sewer, would cost some money. How much, I don't know. But you have city crews, and then you have a simple piping systems that could be Don, I know the elevation, and some of them are below grade on the pipe, But that should be simple. But if you're promising that you're going to deliver and you've committed to having a rail that's sucking up $1 billion a minute practically, then you're inclined to turn your head to issues such as these washers and these showers and what have you. That's not just theory. There are many other projects within the city government that causes the mayor or others to divert money, not fund certain things. And then you might just have a simple situation is that the city councilman in that district may not be favorable to the mayor who handles the parks and recreation, who appoints the director and what have you. And you can have some simple relationship that, well, we won't do anything in that city councilman's district. We won't fund anything. We won't do potholes. We'll just let things go to hell in the handbasket. And then it'll reflect bad on the council person. So when he runs for election, he'll have everybody so mad. So it could be a number of things, myriad of things that present these problems. But stepping back and ignoring all of that and focusing on what is the real impacts here, human health and the health of the environment. It's a minuscule attempt here. The effort is small, and the impacts, one may argue, well, there are bigger issues. Yeah, there is. But if the word gets out that people are getting sick here at Waikiki and no one knows and these are beach goers, it might translate into loss of revenue as far as beach goers and people coming here to sun in the beautiful sun, lay on the, quote, beautiful beaches. So there's a price to pay, believe it or not. One way or the other. So you can shift and play the shell game if you're in politics, or you can play the game where you can't fix every problem because they're so numerous. But you look to see, in my opinion, what are the real impacts exponentially, or what are they linked to? The showers? Okay, what's the problem? Well, the problem is bacteria. The problem is killing of the coral reef. The problem is polluting the water. And then you have lots and lots of little children whose tolerance for some of these things may be lower than adults. Or we would never know who's getting sick because there's no real effort to monitor and determine or quantify who's getting sick and who's not. Person quite naturally walking into the shower down there with their child and the child gets sick, who's going to think, well, it must have been some of that pokey that I gave my child that was imported from when we were in Hawaii. No. Rarely, I believe, would they ever try to connect or know to connect that the shower, something as simple as the shower that they waded in, or the dirt or the sand that they lay their towels on and lay there in that dirt that looked like it was sand deposited by the ocean, the waves, when in fact it was its wastewater that washed down the sand that people had tracked in. And the children have ingested it, and so are the adults, or swim in it, lay in it, wallow in it. And what better way to get it on your skin and have it in touching an infection or scratch or scrape. You have a perfect setup there, folks. You know, you go to the beach and you scrape your knee on a piece of coral or rock out there snorkeling. You come back, you wash off in the shower, or you come back and lay up on the beach in that wet spot there that was actually overflowing from the shower. A lot about this subject, and it's probably many of you overkill, but when I see staff, and there's been historically now in the recent past high numbers of staff infections, going unexplained. And, you know, it's like, well, okay. And I was thinking, I don't have any science behind this, but how is it that staph infection can occur in some people and they were in the same water and all? But is it, yesterday I was standing there looking at the scum on the water and thinking, well, some of them don't touch that water when they come to the beach, but others may touch that water. And I saw one lady, she dropped a towel and she wrang it out, picked it up and wrang it out, and you could see this milky, snotty water. So she had the presence of mind to just throw the whole towel away. That's not my description. I didn't create that, invent that description. This is reality, what happened. So anyway, they, instead of fixing it, they say it's a Jeremy Harris and from the Harris administration, and the showers were poorly designed. He said that each outdoor shower has a sand trap covered by 5 cover plates. Those cover plates, folks, is a problem within themselves. Someone can cut themselves, break the leg. There are 120 lawsuits waiting at each shower for the right lawyer to come along. Someone's going to slip, fall, break, or do something. And if you get down there in the moss, please, if you go down there, be very careful, because that green slime will get you, I know, firsthand. And he said that this is a gentleman that was managing it. The sand trap collects the sand and transmits the shower water to a dry well, which disperses the water through the sand. Now, the groundwater is right there. The beach is right there. So the regular shower preventive maintenance consists of scraping the outdoor shower concrete pads and removing buildup from the trap. There are 2 crews that handle the maintenance work, a day crew staff of 4 and a night crew staff of 5 over the 7-day week. Each crew is responsible for cleaning 3 outdoor showers. Each shower is usually cleaned twice a week, but once a week at a minimum, depending on staffing availability. And on September 13th at approximately, this is, he said that this is because they need to bring a backhoe to scoop out the sand from the dry wells. And he said the one we missed was the one located next to the groin near Kapahulu. He claimed the 2 problematic outdoor showers was one near the groin and one we verified discharging shower water into the ocean. Merle believes that the one on the groin may not have been built with a dry well. We've confirmed that. The one that discharged shower water to the ocean is particularly bad because of root intrusion from coconut trees. So again, that was 2012, and they say just 1 or 2 of those. Each and every shower that we witnessed yesterday was draining directly into the ocean. And we visited at least 7 of them. And the people were having fun and unsuspectingly walking and wading and wallowing and laying in the, and no problem. So please, if you're down there, be careful. I would take me a sun shower and the, you know, the black bags that have the water in them with the shower head, and I would avoid those, because not my opinion and not my assessment, but apparently there have been a number of calls. I was talking to the state people, and they said they were told there were hundreds of calls to come in. I've talked to some of the workers, and they say they get lots and lots of calls, the city workers. And so what happened to the bacteria in the water that's in the sand? All those, the workers are concerned, but someone on top is not concerned. We're going to post this again at carolcox.com and Facebook, Carol Cox. So if you're interested and want to see them, and just the way it is, folks. But everything's looking pretty good on the next week. We got a couple things we're going to. We had promised to have a state agency in coming in, and I'm going to try and the having the young man from Waianae. A project on the boats, and I had invited him to the Kamoa'ali Kiha. So I'm hopefully we can make arrangement of that. It's a double hull canoe that apparently it was some or all of it. The wood was donated by the to repair it was the King of Tonga, and he's going to be doing this with the intent of using it for education of kids and teaching them how to navigate and some of the cultural ways and what have you. So, and the Hokulea was successful. Congratulations to them. It was brought a lot of attention to many of the issues here and the world oceans and what have you. So, good stuff going on, folks. And the question is, when are you going to get involved? We hope you survive the political outfall of the things that are going on right now. I'm sure many of you are struggling, and it's unfortunate. We've seen violence, but I don't know. And with this entire subject, I see a lot of passing of the buck. The right side says, well, we've got to start talking to one another a little more nicer and the vitriolic disputum that we toss at one another. And I can't help but remind myself or remember vaguely, or clearly, I should say, when you start off with a person just out of nowhere discussing a man's cultural background, claiming that he's not an American, he's in all of that. So where does this start? Undermining everything. We need to speak softly and carry a big stick, or speak softly and grow angel wings. I don't know what we need to do. But I'm not buying into this let's start speaking and being kinder, because that's all wah-wah talk. I believe that you should start demonstrating. I mean, to speak nicely to one another, and then the next thing you know is that we're going to undermine this. We're going to take away the Cuban thing. Anything that Obama has done, we're going to undo that. But we're going to talk nice to one another. It sounds like hogwash. And unfortunately, that's probably setting off a lot of people that who's just sitting on the edge of frustrated and violent anyway. And just, you just never know. So we do need to be kinder and gentler. But also we need to be able to say to people, that is just flat out wrong. You know, get him out of here. You're fighting everything. Everything is fake. You claim everything is fake. News reports is fake. Everything. You're firing everyone. And yet, we should talk to one another gently and be more kinder in our comments and less violent and volatile and disruptive and argumentative. Change our ways. Demonstrate that we want to work together and get along. Let the process, the democratic process, if there are investigations, let them play themselves out. An investigation will likely reveal the truth or dispel what is claimed to be the truth. You see. So I think we're in, they say, we'll don't want a constitutional crisis. I believe right now that from my short time of being here on this planet, this is a constitutional crisis. And how awesome is it to have been raised up with the understanding that America was great. We were greater than anybody else. We had a democracy. We have a constitution. We have this, we have that, because we would never find ourselves in a situation where we would have bad people running our government. We would never do that because the system is designed to prevent that. And now we find ourselves almost helpless, like a ship in high winds that a sail is broken. We're floundering. We have no... It's so revealing. Caller, real quick, go ahead, comment.
Oh, yeah, what do you think about Loretta Lynch and what she said, what came out with the Comey investigation or statements?
I think you ought to get on a Greyhound bus and go over there and stand up and demand that they investigate her. That's what
absolutely.
I think you should. Well, I think that's what you should do. Don't ask me.
Well, yeah, I just wanted to give a check there.
But what do you do about asking for Trump to be investigated? Have you written any letters encouraging the prosecutors?
Well, as far as that goes, haven't seen, nothing's come out. Absolutely nothing has come out. It's been over a year, this is all smoke and mirrors.
Well, nothing's come out with Loretta Lynch.
Oh, boy, she was seen on the tarmac when Hillary was being investigated.
Well,
how can you say? And she also told Comey, she stated to Comey, supposedly, that this is not an investigation, it's a situation, or whatever she said.
You know, I think the thing that supporters of Trump should do is to stand up and look in the mirror and face reality. You can't call and tell me, what about Loretta Lynch, and then you duck and dodge and run around and hide in the
hole. Let me ask you this.
Let me tell you this. You need to come to reality, and an investigation is just an investigation.
Okay, fine. Okay, we'll talk about this now. Okay, can you explain to me what the Russians did exactly?
Can you explain to me what is an investigation?
No. What did they do to affect the election?
My friend, there are people out there that are better qualified to investigate and have greater access to information that I don't have and you don't have. And it's a shame that you would be blindly led into defending something that you don't know one iota about. There could be tons of information. And you're not allowing...
So you can't answer the question, though. What was the Russian coalition and the effect of the election? You can't answer that.
I would never attempt to answer that.
Because it was a big fat zero, and you know it. This is just smoke and mirrors.
Boy, if I was as smart as you, I would be on the top radio show in the world.
Well, keep wishing, brother.
Thank you. Okay. But, yeah, what if? What about, you know? What about taxes? Let's see some tax records. What about bringing your daughters and your son-in-law into and putting them in the government and then turn around and say Obama wasn't experienced? What about, you know, let's get with it, folks. This is America, and it's a shame. We might say the kind words, but we still do stupid things. Let's let this investigation take its effect, work itself out. And then those that lie, we'll prosecute them for false information, false allegations, false information to officers, false statements to a federal agency or agent. So there's recourses if the Democrats are lying. So let's just hold on and wait. So we'll talk to you later. We'll see you.
This has been the Carol Cox Show, heard every Sundays at 9 a.m. on K108. Tune in again next week, Sunday at 9 a.m. to the Carol Cox Show on 1080 a.m. KWAI Honolulu.